Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Here we are, Palm Sunday, the day that we remember Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Crowds of people cut down palm branches and waved them. And it was so amazing we refer to this as Palm Sunday. We could have called it Shout Hosanna Sunday. Or we could have called it Ride a Donkey Sunday. But the event was so significant. People call this day, we've termed it Palm Sunday. You don't find that in the Bible. You don't necessarily even find it in the pericopes in the Bible. In the Gospels, you'll see it says the triumphal entry. But Palm Sunday, the day when they cut down palm branches and wave them. Each one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, records this story, records this event. And they all record it from a different vantage point. Matthew's the most detailed. And so that's why we're going to be at Matthew chapter 21. A couple of things that Luke includes that Matthew doesn't. I just want to highlight those. In Luke, we have him mentioning that the religious leaders were causing a kerfuffle and saying, Jesus, command these people to be quiet. And he will say, if these were quiet, even the stones would cry out. Which is interesting that Luke references Jesus talking about stones, because of all the scriptures, this is the day, Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. And it talks about in Psalm 118, and it'll be in your sermon notes, it talks about the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day. And this is out of Psalm 118. They'd say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But Luke notices something else that no one else mentions. And that says people have cut down the palm branches as they're waving them as Jesus is riding in on the donkey. As he enters the city, do you know what he's doing? He's weeping. Luke tells us this. And he's weeping, saying, Jerusalem, if you would have known this is the day, if you would have known this day, the day of your visitation. And he's saying, you're singing, but you're missing it, and you're missing what this is all about. So those two things Luke picks up on, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, here we go. God help us hear from your word today. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. It's in Zechariah chapter 9. If we would have gone a little further, we would have discovered in Zechariah 12 them saying, they will look on me who they have pierced, and they will mourn as they would mourn for an only son. But in this part, they're focused on just him riding in. Jesus did something that I don't know about you, but I sure think it seems out of character for him. Hasn't seemed like he's demanded or required any special privilege before. He's been happy to walk with the disciples. He's been happy to walk through life with them. In fact, he was happy to even walk at times when they didn't. They got in the boat and got to ride, and he just walked on the water. But somehow this was more than him saying, you know, I'm tired. Guys, I'm tired of walking. Or, I just got my donkey license. Let's take it out for a spin. It was a fulfillment of Scripture. A day that had been prophesied about Jerusalem, that the king, Zechariah, it's 500 years before Christ or so, would ride into town, not as a king on a magnificent steed, or with an army, or being carried on one of those things they carry people on. But the king would enter humbly on a donkey. And there was so much significance in this. as he rides into Jerusalem. Just a note, I would not recommend that you go to the Harley-Davidson store and start wheeling a bike out of the front doors and saying, the Lord has need of it. Now, it has a lot of horsepower, but it's not a donkey. And this was for Jesus. The Lord said, do this. And it was a fulfillment of Scripture. Matthew 21, verse 8 says this. We keep reading, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. It's very insightful to what they're saying. They're not saying to the son of Mary and Joseph. They're saying to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Quoting from Psalm 118. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And that's the title of today's message. Who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. They spread their clothes on the ground in branches. Other gospels will let us know that they were palm branches and they waved them. And they cry out this, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I was so delighted our worship team had us sing about Hosanna. And I think in a moment we're going to do that again. But Hosanna comes from two words. So the compilation of these words, we get Hosanna. But the first word means this, save us, deliver us, rescue us, be victorious, defend us, liberate us. That's the first word. Save us, deliver us, rescue us, liberate us. The second word is this, I pray now. Present tense, not future tense, not past tense, right now. I pray, I'm praying now, do this now. So when you bring those two together, you get the word Hosanna, and it means this, save us, I pray now. Save us, deliver us now. I pray you'd save us now. Rome has occupied Jerusalem, and they are crying out to the lineage of the Son of David, King David, who took Jerusalem years and years ago, a liberating king, but they had no idea. That's exactly what he came to do, to save them. But not from the Romans, from something far worse, in a way that they could never imagine. In a few days, instead of yelling Hosanna, they would yell, crucify. We have no king but Caesar. Something happens that Matthew records that must captivate our attention, and it can't go unnoticed. I think it's the most important part of this whole story, and it's not the donkey riding, it's not the palm branches, it's not weeping over the city, it's not the threat of the rocks crying out, and it's not even the people crying Hosanna. It's this. Matthew, we already read it, 21:10, it says this, the city was moved and said, who is this? Who is this? And that question demanded an answer then, and it demands an answer today. Who is this? They answered, well, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Loved ones, if that answer was complete, if that's all he was a prophet, then we got all dressed up for nothing. Jesus is more than a prophet. There have been lots of prophets who have spoken on God's behalf, who hear what God says and say it. We've had lots of prophets. In fact, he was the son of David from the lineage of David the king, but he had to be more than that. There were lots of people that came from that lineage. He had to be more than a prophet. He had to be more than a king from David's lineage. He needed to be both of those things, but he had to be more to make any kind of eternal difference in our lives. And so the crowd asked, who is this? And they said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth from Galilee. It reminds me of when Jesus asked the disciples, what's the word on the street? Who do men say that I am? He said, well, some would say you're a New Testament prophet. Some would say you're John the Baptist. Some would say you're an Old Testament prophet, Elijah or Jeremiah. But who do you say that I am? Peter would say, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus would say, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood. Somebody say, slow down. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. There has been a spiritual revelation of who Jesus is, and that's what needs to take place. A spiritual revelation of who Jesus is. Those in Jerusalem misunderstood. Save us, deliver us now. See, Jesus responded by giving his life to save us not only from Roman opposition, but from Roman oppression, but for the oppression of sin that would cost us our very souls. Once the disciples were in a terrible storm, Jesus was in the boat and he was sleeping. And they woke him up, and they woke him up with these words. They said this, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're perishing? Well, that's exactly why Jesus came, because he cared that we were perishing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't come to just get them to the other side, get them safely through the storm. They cried out, save us, deliver us. He didn't just come to overthrow one government and replace it with another. I realize we're approaching an election. The answer to our land is not a change of government. It's a change of heart. It's a change of conscience. And we have a role to play. Yes, we have a role to play in voting and doing that intelligently and having our say as citizens of Canada. But as citizens of the kingdom, we have another role. If my people, who are called by my name, roll that out to the implications, if my people do not, if my people will pray. See, this wasn't just another prophet, and it wasn't another king, and it wasn't even some guy on a donkey. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he came to pay the penalty for our sin. He didn't ride into Jerusalem that day to demonstrate his power over Rome. He rode into Jerusalem that day to demonstrate his power over sin and death and hell and the grave and how much he loves us. And he would die and he'd rise again victorious over death. And he'd offer new life to anyone who'd believe. He didn't come to impose a penalty. He came to pay the penalty for our sin. And he was the only one who could, because he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who is this, they asked. And today we're faced with that same question. Who is this? And your answer to that question determines everything. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God. And if we would believe in him, we could have life in his name. Sometimes, like the disciples, we can get so focused on, if you cared, Lord, don't you care about the storm that I'm in? If you cared, wouldn't you just safely get us to the other side? If you cared, free us from this situation. But loved ones, Jesus does care, but there's a bigger picture than our temporary storm. He came to give us eternal life. He cares about every detail of our lives, but especially he cares that when we come face to face with our sin and the consequences of our sin, we can know that we're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus and cleansed and set free. Who is this? This is Jesus, the Son of God, who loves you and gave himself for you, that if you'd believe in him, if you'd trust in him, you'd have life in his name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.